Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. I'm still here in our Green Tree Studios, live and local. It is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole with you to about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. And it's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 503 on this Thursday morning. From an empty studio, from pretty much an empty building, still making it work here and still here for you during these times, and we will continue to press on with whatever sports news and whatever sports topics that we can come up with, but we are committed to doing that for as long as this thing goes on. And today, I want to start off with the Steelers, because they are still making some moves here in this offseason, and still kind of, I don't know, hanging around as far as draft preparation, and that's kind of the next big thing on the sports calendar that still hasn't been moved yet. The NFL staying defiant in that regard, and the Steelers kind of reacting to it as well. And GM Kevin Colbert did talk to Steelers.com yesterday, and I'll start there, and I'll get to that here in a minute or so. But before I do that, CBS Sports has put out some grades. Nothing says sports talk or, you know, evaluating sports topics like handing out some letter grades for things. And CBS Sports did that yesterday, handing out the grades for the AFC North offseason, going through team by team. And the Steelers they're toward the top. They haven't had the best offseason, according to CBS, but they're right there. So according to their grades, it's the Bengals with a B-, the Browns with a B, the Steelers a B-plus for this offseason in their moves. And then the Ravens, predictably, and they have had a good offseason, with an A. How do you feel about that? A B-plus for the Steelers offseason moves. Do you agree with it? Does it seem a little high, a little too low? You can text in at 412-928-9370. Citing here in this story about how, of course, Javon Hargrave has left the defensive line, but they've tried to fill that with Chris Wormley, and how Ramon Foster has retired, but Stefan Wisniewski is now in, so they're kind of trying to plug the holes in which they've had guys leave, and they've had the shed cap this entire offseason, also bringing in Derek Watt and, you know, all the moves that the Steelers have made. I don't need to go through each and every one of them. But a B-plus. That's how people are evaluating the work of Kevin Colbert so far. And he spoke yesterday to Steelers.com about the offseason and what is still left on the table at this point and where things are headed. And he said three things that I want to highlight here over these next couple minutes. And the first was Kevin Colbert talking about Bud Dupree. And it's really kind of the same message and the same narrative that he's had for the last month or so since this offseason has started, really, about Dupree's future, and it hasn't changed even though they have gone ahead and given him the franchise tag. Here's Kevin Colbert on Bud Dupree.
Bud understood that going into the process, and our message has been consistently, hey, Bud, if we use the franchise tag, our goal is to still sign you and get you locked up as a Steeler for the rest of your career. And that's what we'll continue to try to do.
So there it is. It's the classic GM, the classic front office executive speak there of, hey, we're going to try to, you know, we're going to work with you as much as possible to have you stay here. And he's maintained that that's what he said all along, wanting to have Bud Dupree sign a long-term deal. But as I've kind of said before in reviewing all of this, it's like me saying I want to buy a Ferrari. I would love to have it. Sure, I would enjoy it. And I would enjoy it for years. I would take care of that thing. It would be awesome to have a Ferrari. I'd love it. But if the money isn't right, it's just not feasible. Like, if I can't afford it, then what's the point of having it? I'm not going to have it. It's not going to happen. And I think that's what's kind of the future is like with Bud Dupree and the Steelers. Colbert can say this all he wants, that they're very willing to work out a deal and that they want him around and they would enjoy him and it would be great. But if the money isn't right, if the two figures going up against each other, the one from the Steelers that they're offering and one that Bud Dupree wants after next year, then it's not going to happen. Bud Dupree's not going to be a Steeler beyond 2020. So whenever he says that, I don't think there's much to those words. Also, I think, I don't know, can we slow down on actually telling him and thinking that you want to commit to him long term? Am I the only one that kind of feels that way? Like, are we forgetting that we were ready to pretty much write off Bud Dupree coming into last season? He was a bust before his performance last year. And should Kevin Colbert really be telling him all of this, that he wants to have him be a Steeler for life and ready to give him that deal? I don't know. I'm not fully on board with that line of thinking. I still want to see him get close to that kind of performance again in 2020 that he did last season, because that was the outlier. That wasn't, you know, years of you know, progress that maybe he took another small step in his progression and now he has become this. No, it was a huge leap. And that is concerning because he hasn't had years of that kind of performance. Be different with T.J. Watt, because T.J. Watt at least came into the league, set a bar for himself, and has only improved from there. And you can see that there's a natural progression there. With Dupree, that hasn't been the case. He was a different, completely different guy last year. And while I was glad to see it, I want to see it again. I'm still not convinced the money is going to work from him long term or that his performance is going to be the same. And there may be a sign in this upcoming draft if they go outside linebacker in the third or fourth round. That will be telling. Like, they're already planning for the future without him. If you see that, I would say the old, and I'm going to just ditch this phrase because I've heard it so much lately, but the old writing on the wall might be there if they take a linebacker in one of those spots, especially in a class that doesn't figure to be great for the position. So there's Kevin Colbert on Bud Dupree. That's the first thing. The second was on some draft stuff. So we know that the NFL so far is holding strong and not changing anything, keeping it at April 23rd. Kevin Colbert talking about the potential challenges of the draft process if it stays the same.
I reminded him of the 1974 draft that the Steelers conducted when they ended up with five Hall of Famers. You know, back in that day, Art Rooney Jr. and Bill Nunn and Dick Haley and the group, they put together one of the best drafts, or the best draft in NFL history, and they didn't have pro days. They didn't have combines. They relied on what they felt.
And he goes on to say that they relied on what they felt that player was and that everyone is essentially in the same boat, which is true. but he's hearkening back to the 70s. I don't know. I think the draft will still be held on the 23rd because right now the league has the world's attention. They're the only league that still has everything going for them. It still has everything planned out as it was before everything got turned upside down. And so I don't think they're going to be willing to give that up. I think they're going to make it work. I think this might be showing that there's a lot of extra stuff in preparation for the draft and in evaluating these prospects that might be unnecessary. That's kind of overkill in what these teams do before the draft. I think that's what this process might show. And that's depending on the results, of course, across the league and with the Steelers. But, you know, I guess while Kevin Colbert wasn't there in that process in the 70s, at least there's some organizational history there, something to look forward to saying, hey, it can be done. I admire the positive outlook from Colbert on this. At the end of the day, it's an imperfect science. I mean, you just never really know for sure what guys are going to excel, which guys are going to make it, which guys might be late bloomers, and which might be completely, you know, complete and total busts. And you'll get a few of them just about in every draft class, where they're all along that spectrum, and I don't expect it to be much different for this year, even though there aren't as many, you know, player visits and face-to-face interactions with these guys. I expect the results to be more of the same. And the third, from what Kevin Colbert said to Steelers.com yesterday, was on this offseason and just spending more. How much do you have left? What does the future hold for free agent signings? Where are you at, Kev?
Can we still do some things further down the road? Sure. In the short term, I think we're temporarily, I don't want to say out of business, but we're satisfied with where we are at this point. We'll continue to address it as again, this continues to unwind. We get deeper into our draft meetings.
So kind of out of business, but not really out of business. I don't think they have any areas right now in which they can't address with the draft. Even with a more, you know, limited number of picks, obviously, this upcoming draft, maybe, you know, an interior offensive lineman or some linebacker depth, they could go there in free agency still and, you know, sign somebody for $1 or $2 million a year, be mostly depth pieces, but I don't expect another bigger signing. And I don't know if they've had any really big signings this offseason. But I wouldn't expect much more, and I don't know if they really need much more. The only other spot that makes sense to go to still in free agency is a veteran quarterback behind Ben Roethlisberger. And while the market has kind of dried up some, with some names being taken out of the mix, you know, the Teddy Bridgewaters, the Case Keenums, guys like that, there are still a few out there that make some sense that you could probably sign to, you know, a couple million dollars for a year or two just to be in the mix, just in case things go awry and just in case you have to throw Mason Rudolph out there and you don't have complete confidence in him. There's guys like, you know, that have won in the league before, like Matt Moore, who came in and won a few games in Kansas City last year. Not great about Mike Glennon, not too confident about that. Joe Flacco out there, he's there. I'm not saying that they should go out and sign him as well, but there's still some guys in there that if you really want to shore up that depth, you could go get, and probably for pretty cheap. But I think overall they've stopped spending and just, if they just stopped spending and went to the draft and addressed the need for a playmaker with a running back or a receiver in that second round, maybe even followed up in the third round, I wouldn't be all that upset to just see them shut it down from here, go into the draft and try to fill the rest of the needs on the roster. So there you go. Kevin Colbert talking about this Steelers offseason so far with Steelers.com. All right, coming up next, the usual smorgasbord of sports stuff that you may have missed from yesterday. And then to wrap up the show, some league news in the NHL and in Major League Baseball that I think is very intriguing as to what we could see here in the future and how we're going to come out on the other side of this thing. That's all next. It's the Early Morning Show on The Fan. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. May have missed some things in the sports world from yesterday. Let's go over it.
Time now for While Yinz Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, the first is that it's rerun season, right? That's where what we're left with as far as actually watching sporting events. And we've seen some of the best over the last couple days. The 2013 wild card game, was that on Monday or what day is it? Tuesday? I don't know when it was. A couple days ago, you saw that on AT&T Sportsnet. And then yesterday, NHL Network ran, what was it, like 13 hours of Penguins programming. And there was also, you know, some classic games and a review of the 09 Stanley Cup season that I was watching a little bit of on AT&T Sportsnet. Well, now NBC Sports is getting in on the game, and they announced yesterday that beginning on March 30th, the network will air two Sunday night football games a night through April 5th, and then three more games every other Sunday in April. So they're just going to replay these Sunday night football games. And of course, the Steelers have played a lot of primetime games over the last few years, and they're going to be featured twice during this. So the first will be from a 2012 game, and this is kind of where I draw the line on reruns. Like, I love to watch these rebroadcasts, and especially now, of course. But I don't know if I can bring myself to do this. It's the 2012 Sunday Night Football matchup between the Steelers and the Broncos. And it was Peyton Manning's first game as a Denver Bronco whenever he just essentially torched the Steelers in a 31-19 victory. And I remember watching that game, and I was sick watching it the first time. So I'm really not sure I'm going to be tuning in for that one. But the second one, which will re-air on April 4th at 7 o'clock, is the 2010 game between the Steelers and the Ravens. A 13-10 Steelers win that was highlighted by a couple of things. Haloti Ngata came through and broke Ben Roethlisberger's nose in the first quarter with a sack. And also Troy Polamalu had a late strip sack of Joe Flacco in the fourth quarter to kind of seal things. And Isaac Redman sealed the deal with a pass from Ben Roethlisberger in which he broke multiple tackles on his way to the end zone. So, thanks to the Post-Gazette for kind of highlighting those things and what NBC Sports is going to be doing soon. So there you go. Some classic Steelers games that you can look forward to as we're continuing to kind of just search for sports TV programming during this time. The second thing is that Dayton's Obi Toppin, the Associated Press Player of the Year, he's heading to the NBA. Not really a surprise there. And this, for a Dayton fan, I'm sure this sucks because here's a guy, I don't know if, you know, they're going to have a kind of a lottery pick. When's the next time they're going to have a lottery draft pick, prospect, come through the program like Obi Toppin? And they didn't even see what they could do with him in the NCAA tournament. And just kind of a stark reminder of what we missed out on this year in NCAA basketball, that we could have seen a team like Dayton, who had its best roster maybe ever, make a run, a legitimate run at a national title. They went 29-2. They had, you know, the number three ranking. And now their best player is going to go to the NBA. Again, not surprising, but also kind of a sad marker of the times. And then finally, the Cincinnati Bengals. They've been pretty open about wanting to move on from Andy Dalton. They were working with him to find a new home and making him widely available for trade, clearly stating to the rest of the league and to Andy Dalton himself hey, we had a good run here, but we got this kid who's from Ohio that just won the national championship and just put together like one of the greatest seasons in college football history that we want to draft with the first overall pick. So see you later. Well, now apparently that Andy Dalton is in fact still a Cincinnati Bengal, and after they have kind of floated him out there, there haven't been as many takers. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport suggested yesterday that, quote, all options are still on the table. And that includes bringing him back, potentially, for 2020, and having him serve as the backup for whoever they draft, presumably Joe Burrow, of course, but that nothing has been decided from Cincinnati's standpoint. Whoops. I think things have kind of backfired for the Bengals in this whole situation. They couldn't get rid of him. They tried to. They made it very clear that he was available. And now it's kind of gone too far. I mean, can you really bring Andy Dalton back as the backup for next year whenever you've clearly stated that there's no future for him there in Cincy, and you bring Joe Burrow in, and who do you start to begin the year? When do you yank Andy Dalton? Like, what if he comes in and plays pretty well through the first four or five games? Is he going to, you know, be happy and sit well on the bench behind Joe Burrow? It's just would be a disaster if they kept him on the roster, I think. It would only create issues, but they've got a sticky situation on their hands. They got to hope that New England or somebody comes calling for Andy Dalton here pretty soon. All right, coming up next, some league news, both in the NHL and in Major League Baseball, for what things are going to look like when this hopefully is all over very, very soon. I'll go over all of that next. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 5:30 on this Thursday morning. 8 o'clock today, Fan Morning Show. Jason Mackey, Pirates Insider here at 93.7 The Fan. He'll join the show for just continued MLB offseason news as we continue to go through this thing. So 8 o'clock today, Jason Mackey will be joining the show. And we have some league news. So in the NHL yesterday, they still are planning to have, or attempting to at least, to have a summer playoff series. So it only made sense to kind of postpone the other things that they would normally be doing in the summer. And they did that yesterday. They announced the postponement of the scouting combine, the draft, and the awards because of everything being pushed back, because they actually want to be playing hockey games at this point. And Jim Rutherford did speak yesterday as well and had some thoughts about, you know, when we're actually going to play and playoffs.
There's a lot of people working on different scenarios. We're just trying to be prepared for when we start and be able to deal with whatever the scenario is. So I could probably go through 10 different scenarios that are possibilities, but doesn't make sense because I'm not the one making the decision.
And he also talked about one guy in particular who continues to be the carrot kind of dangling out in front of the Penguins and a potential season restart. Here's Jim Rutherford on this guy.
I would expect that knowing Jake Guentzel, that he's going to be ready. And his rehab's going well. He's at the point now where he's one of the guys that's going to return home and continue to work on the rehab on his own. But all the reports that I've had, there have not been any setbacks at this point.
Yeah, and as I identified whenever this season was first paused, that the Penguins could be that team that I don't know if they benefit the most, but would definitely benefit from a time off because Jake Guentzel would be getting back into the lineup sooner. He would miss less games and probably would see more playoff action. That's if the season, of course, is still being played after all this. And as I said yesterday, play into the summer. Start back up again January 1st for next year. Play 45, 50, 55 games or so, playoffs again, Stanley Cup awarded again. I'm cool with that. That, I think, is, I don't know if it makes the most sense, but I'd be okay with it. I really would to see that happen in the NHL. Also, in Major League Baseball, So an update here, ESPN's Jeff Passan reports about the league and the union continuing to negotiate on matters of how we're going to come out on the other side of this. And both sides are now hopeful for a June start. So early June launch is what they're looking at. And the league and the union are said to be hopeful that can happen. Whether or not that proves to be overly optimistic is to be determined. But as you recall, team executives have already noted that the necessity is there for a four-week kind of ramp-up period, a second spring training. So the pitchers, you know, would have to stretch out their arms during this time. We know that. So in that early June scenario, that would mean that camps would be resuming in early May. So they would have to be, you know, getting going here in about a month. And also, players are apparently very open to playing doubleheaders. So willing to play up to two doubleheaders a week as a way of kind of fattening up that schedule to get as many games in as possible. Also, they're entertaining the idea of empty stadium games and running the regular season into October, which would kind of permit the league in it to be its fullest year. And, you know, if it does kind of start in June or June 1st, maybe in early May, there would already be about 60 games into what would normally be a Major League Baseball season. So really, it would have been opening day today. The Pirates should have been in Tampa Bay to start off the season against the Tampa Bay Rays. Probably would have seen Tyler Glasnow pitch against the Pirates over these next couple days. I don't know if he would have been the opening day starter, but we should have been and could have been seeing that. And I think a 100-game season, if it's, you know, starts in June 1st, I don't know, that would be okay with me. I don't know, I'd rather see that than trying to cram 162 games in. You could play doubleheaders, and I love the idea of playing doubleheaders. I mean, seeing more games throughout a day and maybe in a shorter period of time, it's definitely appealing as a fan. I don't know if it would be great for the players. I know they've kind of agreed to this and said they would be, you know, agreeable to this kind of thing, but I think the players would just be exhausted. And then you would, if they're exhausted, then you'd see more injuries, then you'd see shorter starts from these pitchers, then you'd see, you know, more, you know, bullpen action, you know, three batters or less, you know, is going to be in play, but regardless of that, time of game gets longer. There's a trickle-down effect there that I think there's a danger in trying to cram a full season into a much, much shorter time. So I would rather see 100 quality games than 162 rushed. And then you're kind of keeping the postseason timeline the same as well, and you're not playing into late November in these colder weather cities, and then you've got to figure out, you know, what are you going to do, a neutral site, or are you going to play indoors, and that whole can of worms. You don't even have to go down that road. So I'd rather see 100 over 162 for Major League Baseball. But as of right now, looks like early June that they're shooting for Major League Baseball to start up the 2020 season. All right, question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. And going back to the first segment, are you okay with the Steelers' current quarterback situation? And if you're not, what exactly do you want to see happen here? What, I need names. Give me names for what the Steelers should do if they want to bring in somebody and change this current situation they have behind Ben Roethlisberger. All right, fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Sun's service department is open for all your automotive needs with pickup and drop-off available. Go to sunchevy.com for more details. Today, partly sunny and mild and a high of 68. And then tonight, a little rain around and a low of 52. The pre-show is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.